Things you hear on a drilling rig, part 5. What the fuck is wrong with you? You guys are all fucking idiots. It's like working with a fucking monkey.
Can you hear the music?
Oh yeah.
Oh fuck yeah.
I'm gonna turn my phone on, do not disturb.
Yeah, man. This fucking song gets me right fucking amped. Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Was this written for you?
Yeah, I got it made.
Fuck, that's dope.
Oh, god damn.
Yeah, this is sick.
All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. And shout out to Senjin Boychuk, you know, for creating that lovely melody for us, you know. More like a banger is what the fucking thing is. But shout out to Senjin Boychuk, you know. I just love that guy. Find him all over the socials, you know, everywhere.
I'm looking him up.
Oh, yeah, man. YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. The guy's there, man. He's there for your... for your ears. He's there for your ear orgasms. And shout out to him. And on this week of the podcast, you know, on this episode, we have special guest Girth Brooks, aka Neil. What's up, Neil?
Oh, fuck. We had a Costco run today. That's about it, honestly.
Costco, what'd you get?
A pretty lazy day.
What'd you get?
All the food I'm going to use to meal prep for my next hitch. Just
fuck
like
yeah,
a fuckload of beef and rice and like vegetables and shit.
You count macros, don't you?
Fuck no. I don't have the discipline for that. The way I see it, my job is tiring enough. I don't have to count my macros. I'll eat, like, I'll stop at the gas station, get whatever the fuck for snacks for the day. And I still come back, look like, after every rotation, looking pretty lean. Maybe put on, like, 5 pounds on my days off and it's gone by time I 2-4, so...
Hell
if
yeah.
I had a less physical job, I probably would. But the way I see it, like I'm going to take full advantage of the fact that I can eat whatever the fuck I want, and I will eat whatever the fuck I want when I'm working.
Absolutely. Well, how old are you?
26.
26, man. You still got a couple more years. I remember, you know, from the time I was, 18, 19 till I hit 30 anyways, I couldn't gain pounds, man. I couldn't put on them LBs. I would eat and eat and eat and eat. And not gain a thing. I was 140 pounds until I turned like 30-ish.
Really?
And then one day I just like, oh, you know, and now I'm 190, right? I love my size, bro. Like, you know, it's not fat. Like sometimes it is. But like right now it's not. Right now it's like, you know, like I got a bigger dick than I get than I do a belly, you know. But in the winter I got a dick.
There you go.
In the winter I got a dick.
That's where the name Dick Frost comes from.
Yeah.
You can't call yourself Dick Frost if you're not just packing some heat.
Oh, buddy. I call her Thor's hammer, right? Only those that are worthy can touch it, right? Oh, fuck yeah.
I wish I could say the same thing, but I don't know. These days, fucking like any woman I talk to can touch it. So I wish I could say only the ones who are worthy.
So you just let anybody up on that ride, eh? You don't even have to be this tall to ride. You just like, hey, hop on, babe, let's go.
Ideally shorter than that because I'm like 5'6".
Oh, fuck. You're taller than I am.
I say 5'6", but I'm probably
we met once.
5'4". Yeah, I thought we were like the same height.
Yeah, we're close to the same height. We met in a bar at the West Wind Motel at Drayton Valley, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in there getting some food, and this fucking, you know, mop top looking motherfucker with a mustache comes in, sits down next to me, and then I think you're on your way to like a comedy show, were you not?
Oh yeah, because we couldn't skid the rig that day, or I can't remember if it was a move or a skid, but we got rained out. So I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna go to this comedy thing in Edmonton because. Like everyone at the West Winds, I know them really well because I've been staying there for so long.
Yep.
And yeah, I was talking to Jessica, I believe, her and her boyfriend who works for the same company I do, were both there. And I'd had my first video that was doing like somewhat decent. And that's how it started. Cause it was like, I was like all excited about having like a video that was doing sweet on TikTok. And then you were like sitting right next to me like, oh, do I know a thing or two about viral videos? There was that fucking buying a truck video. I just made that.
Yeah.
And then, we couldn't skid the rig because of all the rain. Like, Same type of shit we're that most rigs would be dealing with right now if they're moving often. And I had 360 back on to nights because I was on, I was on night shift. We tore out and we had to wait like a day or two to skid the rig. So I drove up to Edmonton to go do same show I did last night.
Yeah, and where were you doing that show last night there?
Oh, it was just an open mic at the Grindstone last night. Like, I'm working out some new stuff. I tried it out at another place on Tuesday. There was, like, only a workshop full of comics. I wasn't sure if I was getting the right laughs or not. So I had to make sure I was doing it in front of, like, real people last night. And all the stuff that I got the reaction I was looking for. So I'm quite happy with what I'm working on right now.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome, dude. I love that, you know? Like, everyone, you know. That, like, everyone you know in the patch, man, everyone's got something going on, you know? Everyone,
yeah.
Not when they first start out, you know, like the new guys, they don't get it yet, you know? But you've been through a downturn or two, haven't you?
Yeah. I've only been doing this for 3 years.
Oh, so you were born into a downturn. You were molded by it.
Like, I think I started, like, yeah, like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But, like, you got to have something going on, like, it's the people who don't have anything going on that, like, really kind of give us a reputation of, like, oh, these guys are just a bunch of cokeheads. Because you will see guys like that who have nothing else they're doing other than working in the patch. And those guys are fucking, some of them are just good, hardworking guys who are ambitious. But, like, everyone's seen, like, the guy like that who's just getting fucked all the time because he's got a shitload of money and nothing else to do with it.
Yeah, that's going on. Have you seen the documentary on CBC there a few years ago called Digging in the Dirt?
I think I might have.
Yeah, it was about Fort Mac. It was about the oil sands and whatnot. It was about the oil patch in general. And it was like, if you give a kid, and it's in every industry, they could be in an office, they could be, you know, a white collar person, they could be anywhere.
Oh, I've seen it with white collar people.
But if you take a kid at 18, and he's come from a rough upbringing, right? And he's had a rough life. And you give him $100,000 a year right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then throw him into, you know, what we go through in the patch, right? What we go through in the field. You know, 12 plus hours a day or longer. Mm-hmm. You know, you're away from home. You're missing things. You know, the mental health, you know, it gets to you, right? Everyone thinks, you know, it's this kind of toughness. But really, it's up here, right?
It's all mental. Like,
it's all mental. There. All mental.
Physical work is the easiest part of my days. Like, working the rig floor, it's like you're not thinking about anything. As long as you're strong enough to, like, fucking throw your tongs around or whatever, that's the easiest part, is the shit that everyone sees on TikTok. Like, it's when, like, the hard part is, like, in one day, you have to fucking get 2,000 meters of casing in, then cement job and tear the full rig out. And having to do that all within a 12-hour period because the oil company has their deadlines. Like, though, it's like rigging shit out quickly and efficiently. And, like, the stuff that takes brains is not the stuff you see on TikTok. Like, making a tear out take like 2 hours rather than 4 or 5, because, like, and that all comes down from guys way above me. But and it's the mental toughness of, like, I can't take a break now because, like, you can't. And that's not physical. That's just, like, it's all in your mind. It's like, how strong do you really think you are?
Yep. I've seen gorilla juice heads, you know, like, oh, protein, give me all the HGH.
Yeah.
Right? I've seen those guys fucking fold like lawn chairs after a day.
And then you'll see some little scrawny ass kid just able to toughen it out.
Oh, yeah, man. That's because it's not this, right? Like, hey, sure, that might look good to the ladies, you know? The ladies might love what's happening on your biceps or triceps or fucking forceps. I don't fucking know. But, like, you know, they don't, you know, they might like what they see, man. But, like, you know, it's not that, dude. You know, I see a scrawny kid on a rig. I know he's a hardworking motherfucker, you know? I know that guy. That guy's well hung for sure. And he's got this, like, tiny little six pack and, you know, you blow away in the wind, but he's got fucking testicular fortitude. Yeah,
some of those guys like that, they're like, they're strong, but you can't see it when you look at them. It's like, you'll see them do like, just like able to like beasting it. And it's like, people's bodies put on muscle in different ways. Like, for me, I get really bulky really quickly. But then my motor man's the complete opposite, where he's like not that big, but he's ripped. And like, we're both at like the same amount of strength.
Yeah.
But like the way his body puts on muscle is completely different. And I'll see him like fucking doing shit that like if you were to just see him, you would not think you'd be strong enough to do it. Like fucking, I'm trying to think of examples that everyone would be able to think of. But like, what are those called? Like the weights that you got to put on the fucking, what is that? The flare line, like those weights. I've seen him just one man those. And like both of us will just grab the, like one manning a lot of shit that I see guys on TikTok doing with two hands. It's all mental. It's like, do you think you can lift this up or not? And then your body's going to adapt to it and you're going to get stronger as you do it more and more often and it becomes easy. Yep. And you might not get like physically super big, but you're going to have the strength to do it.
Testicular different fortitude. People's
bodies just put on their muscle in different ways. And yep. it's all willpower.
Oh, dude. Dude, your body, your mind will break long before your body does, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, I learned that real quickly in my first like year out there, right? Like, you know, I didn't have any kids yet. And it was just me and my wife. Right. And like, you know, that was still hard, you know, and it was like, you know, okay, well, shit, it's only been a week. How the fuck are you guys with kids doing this shit? Right. Like I ain't seen my dog in a week and I'm sad, you know? And yeah, and fucking yeah, man, it was amazing, man. You learn a lot about yourself. You become a man,
yeah,
or a woman, you know, like, you know,
yeah, like it builds a lot of character your first year especially.
Oh yeah.
I think I lucked out where the crew I'm on that I've been on for most of the time here, we all already had a lot in common, and it just feels like I'm with like brothers now when I'm out there working. And I've been on the same crew for almost my full 3 years. Like when I first started, I got passed around all the different crews until one guy, the driller, got moved up to push. And then Derek, like the crew I'm on was just everyone who was like ready for a promotion. Like I was working lease, getting passed around all the crews. My current Derek Hand was working motors. My current driller.
You were the company hooker. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I've been on that crew for like 3 years now. And like the bonds you make with people out there are, it's crazy.
Well, have you seen that meme that said, you know, the oil fields pay me back in more than just financial value?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Oil fields pay me back in more than just money, right? It's pay me back in, I've learned about the value of brotherhood. I've learned about camaraderie. Yeah. I've 100%. Learned about, you know, yeah, what it takes to keep going when you don't want to anymore. When you physically can't get up and go anymore, you find that extra gear and you go anyways. When your feet don't want to touch the floor,
yeah,
you find out what you're really made out of. You yeah. know, and dude, like, that's so true. That's so true, man. You know, there are days where it's like, yeah. fuck, this ain't even about the money anymore. You know, like, this yeah. is about the lifestyle.
Yeah.
This is like, about the brothers I go to war with every
yeah, fucking like, day. Yeah, like, a lot of it on the crew I'm on, too, is like, this is, it's like, we want to do it as quickly and as well as possible. Like, there's a lot of competitiveness on my crew where it's like, we're going to do this faster than Corey's crew, and we're going to do this cleaner than Dan's crew. Like there's one, like it's competitiveness, and it's like you do it to prove something to yourself that you can.
Yeah,
like if someone asks, like I remember something so insignificant, but when I first started, I was not strong enough to lift the weights that we put underneath our like hydraulics for leveling the rig, like the jacking pads, and I wasn't strong enough to do it. And then it was maybe a couple months ago, my push was like, here, go get someone and see if you can get those weights up. And I was like, fuck that, I'm going to do this myself. And then like 5 minutes later, I came back and I'd done it. And everyone's like, shit, there you go. And fuck it's,
yeah.
I could have gotten someone to help me. I was like, nah, fuck that. Like,
pull a little bit.
I've gotten so much stronger since I got here, like just to prove that I can do it. And we got a new substructure. So I knew that would be my last opportunity to prove to myself that I can do that now. Because we got a new sub, like we were in line to get a new substructure, which we unfortunately did. I missed the old one quite a lot. Like it was the original rig for the company I'm working for. Like it was the rig I was on was like almost probably older than I am.
You work for PD, don't you?
I do now. Like I was with Iron Hand and then PD bought us out.
Okay. Okay. So PD
gave us the new sub.
And you work on a single?
Super
single?
Double.
Double. You're working on a double. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a very small double.
Yeah, I've seen the rig and I'm like, that doesn't look good. I'm used to just working on all triples, right?
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm a backhand, so like I'm not as the comment section is very quick to point out to me all the time, I'm not doing the real man's work. I'm just there sucking shit off for the real. I'm just there to suck the real boys off. Well, right?
The way I see it is like everyone likes to talk a lot of shit about like, oh, that's a real rig. That's not a real ring. Yeah. And like, it means absolutely nothing. Like, because when I first started, the rig I was on didn't even have a top drive. And like, I wasn't going around looking at everyone else and like, oh, you pussies, you're all just working on top drives. Go work on a fucking Kelly bar and then come talk. It was like, we're all just here like making money and trying to make the best of our lives. Like,
yeah,
I'm not like I think it's a place of insecurity to be comparing like what other people are doing, because we need a fucking vac hauler.
Exactly. Like, you need someone there to suck the boys off when the days are getting long and hard, you know?
Yeah, like a good vac hauler like fucking makes or breaks the rig.
Oof.
Like I remember there's one guy I was filling in on a different rig and the vac hauler got ran off. He was just a fucking crackhead and like we needed him to suck out the cellar and this is actually not my story. I want to be fully honest with this. This is a story my driller told me when he was I can't remember what rig it was. It was one of the Iron Hand ones, but the vac hauler was just in there smoking rocks for 2 hours and they needed him to suck out the cellar. And eventually like someone just came and just like fucking slammed his door and starts like screaming, like we needed you 2 hours ago. What the fuck are you doing? And the guy just, like sitting on the toilet smoking crack, and he did that for 2 hours late and shit was just overflowing. It was like no one else knew how to operate the vac truck and the vac hauler was like he got ran off after this. But having a guy like that, like, it makes a huge difference. And the vac hauler we currently have is like the complete opposite of that. Like, he's always just kind of like walking around, like he's always there when you need him. Like, he's an easy guy to find, and almost every day he's cooking the boys food. Like, his cheesecake is fucking amazing.
Fuck yeah.
And like when it comes to cement jobs and shit, like you don't even have to go grab him. He just knows to come up to like when he's needed. You literally don't have to say a word to our vac hauler. He just knows what to do, unless we're somehow working. Like, there's been the odd time where we got shit done like a little bit quicker than usual. Like, sometimes it's just easier because of how things line up.
Yeah.
But, he's always exactly there when you need him. Like, you're never waiting on him. And, the service hands, it makes or breaks the rig. Like, everybody else around. Like, we had a whole hand who just, he was, like, talking back to guys. It's like, we're asking you to do something because we need it done. Like, you're not suggesting anything new to this program that we haven't seen before. Like, the rig I'm on has been doing basically the same wells for, like, 25 years. So you're not bringing anything new to the table that no one's already thought of. Like, just when someone asks you to do something, just, like, do it. Like, it's not like we're trying to be above you and boss you around. But, like, your job is to help us out with what we need.
Fuck yeah. No, it's so true.
It's not, like, we're all equal until you get to push and company, man. Like, I guess like I'd be below, like the motor man can tell me what to do. Driller can tell me what to do, but it's like all the hands on the rig, like we're all in it together. Like, as when you start getting guys like arguing and like trying, like fighting like, in like disagreements, that's when things start to fall to shit. Cause there's a lot of bitterness and resentment and people aren't working well together.
Yep.
And that is one, I think I'm lucky to be on a rig where it's like, everyone's on the same page about pretty much everything.
You know, like, you know, you get guys together for a few weeks at a time. It's hot. It's cold. They're all missing shit, right? You're going to have a little bit of, you're going to butt heads a little bit, right?
Oh,
It's bound to happen, you know, but like you got to sort that shit out quick. Be like, hey, man, you know, we got to have our little argument or whatever, clear the air and then fucking get back to work and respect each other more for it, you know? And,
yeah.
Like, you know, there's a lot of that shit, man. We've been together here now 7 weeks. Right. So Things have boiled over a little bit, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, people are at each other's throat once in a while, and you can just definitely tell when you look at a guy, you can see, hey, don't poke that guy. Don't poke the bear a little bit today, man. Look at him. You can just tell.
Yeah, like, well, I can tell that with my, I can easily tell that with my driller, like when he's in a good mood and when he's not. And like, if he's not in a good mood, I'll just kind of be a lot more quiet. But like when he's in a good mood, we're laughing, shooting the shit, like having a great time. And it all comes, like, it all just comes down to, like, sometimes, like, shit could happen in someone's personal life, and they're just not in the mood for it, and it's, like, it's, on days like that, it's best to just, like, don't do any, like, stupid shit that would, like, on a day when everyone's happy, you can kind of do some stupid, funny shit, brings the morale up, everyone's in a better mood, but, like, if someone's already like not in the mood for that, then don't try to invite it. Then you're just asking for problems.
Whenever I'm on the rig, right, and I see one of the guys, one of the Derek hands, someone with a radio pass by me, I'm like, hey, can I see the radio? And they know what I want to do, right? Yeah, they're like, do. Oh yeah, right. And you know, I usually get the vibe from them, like, hey, now's not the time. Right. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Trust me, now's not the time. And then there are times they're like, fuck yeah, have at her, man. You know, like, now's the time to do that. You know, usually it's either the driller or the push that they, you know, but they all know that if I'm on site, it's going to happen at least once. Yeah. And when it does happen, they're like, fucking dick. Right. Like, they know I'm there. Right. And yeah, man, I love that. I love that, you know, the social media thing for me has gotten to that point where when people see me come on site, they know, there's Dick. He's going to make a video somewhere today. And I'm usually pretty good at hiding when I do it. No one was ever around when I do it, right? Pretty good at hiding. They're like, fuck, man, I've been watching you all day. How did you even get that video off? Like, trust me, bro. Like, I've been doing this for 4 years now. I fucking know where to, when to do it and where, when you're not around. I know, right? Like, I got it perfectly timed. Okay, I got 7 minutes. I got to do this. Let's go, right? And I know, oh, dude, it's great.
Yeah, like, my push is really good for that too. Like when he's in a good mood, it's like, now's the time to be like, just like joking around and shit. But then when it's time to work, it's fucking time to work.
Yeah.
So when things are laid back, holy fuck, that guy's hilarious.
Yeah.
And that, like, stuff like that, like, it keeps the morale high when everyone's like, cause I was on a different rig where the push was just never in a good mood. And it was like, everyone's morale was down. Cause like, he just like come up to the doghouse and like sarcastically make remarks about how guys aren't doing the best job. And it's like, that rig was kind of a pile, but having an attitude like that is not going to make things go any easier. Like, we just got a new substructure. We're having tons of problems as well, but no one's like just angry all the time. Cause like you can't, there's stuff that you can't control what's going to happen, but you can control how you react to it.
Yep.
Like, I remember, there's been nights where it's like so much shit went wrong, and by the end of the night, we were all just laughing. Like, it was around this time last year, it was like pouring rain, and we just kept on running into like losing circulation, lost circulation a bunch of times. Absolute fuck show getting the flare line set up because it was all muddy. And it was like so many small things. And by the end of the night, all the boys were just like soaking wet, like filthy, just laughing our asses off. And that's like a level where like you think everyone should be miserable in that situation, but it's like, no, like we had a good time the entire time we were doing it. Like, we weren't stressed out. It was like, we have to deal with this. Let's get this dealt with quickly and we'll just keep our heads up.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to do that out here.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So you said you've been in the patch for 3 years now?
Yeah.
What did you do before?
I made a lot of bad decisions.
Like, yeah, you did.
Yeah, like before this, like I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And fresh out of high school, I like barely weaseled my way into university. And then I finished with like a 53 average, like the bare minimum to get a degree. Like, I have a finance degree. I just hated it. Like, I didn't like what I was doing. I was drinking a lot. I was doing a lot of drugs, really just to cope with how I wasn't happy with where my life was going. And then one of my good friends started doing stand-up, and I went to see him a few times, like, fuck this, like, I want to start doing stand-up. But I had like $60,000 in student loans to pay off. I was like, what the fuck am I gonna do now? Like I found my passion. I love doing stand up, and I have no money. It's like $60,000 of debt, living at home with my parents, and then my dad knew one of the guys at Iron Hand, and they were desperately shorthanded. He's like, oh, my idiot son thinks he's gonna be a comedian when he grows up. I guess that means he's gonna go be an oil rigger. So he just thought, like, my dad just dropped me off at the West Winds, and I was like, all right, find your own way home. And then, like, I couldn't quit because I had I had no car, I had no way of getting home. So luckily there was another guy in Calgary who was on that crew that I was on. And for my first two or three hitches, I would just get rides with him. I was working towards my student loans, and I bought a car like right before a breakup. And then by August that year, I'd had all my student loans paid off. And then within a year from that was when I bought my place that I'm living in now in Edmonton.
Good for you. You own your own place?
Yeah, I bought a condo about like last fall. So I'm coming up to having lived here for a full year now.
Good for you, buddy. How much did your condo run you?
It was 180 grand and I put 50 down.
Fuck. You can't do that working in town as a finance guy.
Oh,
hey?
Fuck no. I know a lot of people doing that, and none of them are like pulling the same kind of, none of them are pulling the money I am. Like, I'm not, it's like, you shouldn't pick your career entirely based on money, but like, no, those guys, they're making a lot less, and they hate their fucking lives too. Like when I talk to them, it's like, I'm so glad I didn't continue down that path, because I don't know many people working in that sector who enjoy what they're doing. Like, I wish I'd came out here way sooner, because like for me, I have to be active. I have to be on my feet, or I start to get like I feel like when I'm not active, I start to get depressed. Like the more I sit down and try to sit still. And this is a career path where like I'm not doing that. I'm on my feet all day. I'm learning how to do like good, like useful shit. Builds a lot of character. It's
building muscle. Show those pipes, buddy.
Oh yeah.
Dude, I've seen, look at those pipes. Man, what big pipes you have.
Oh yeah. That's just from working the floor. Like,
yeah.
Like I used to kind of work out a lot when I was in high school and I played football, but like it.
Ah, that's why you joined the rigs. You got CTE. Gotcha.
Probably got CTE. Yeah. Like, there's definitely something going on up there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I'll be the first to say I probably have some type of brain damage from that. Like, because I went from going running back to offensive line because we had, like, no bigger guys on the team. And I was, like, somehow I was like, oh, yeah, Neil's one of the big guys on this team. I was like, what the fuck? I'm playing running back. And like 2 weeks into playing offensive line, I got like knocked the fuck out. And that was the end of my football career. Like laid out, like fucking just cleaned right up by a big, like 300-pound motherfucker. Rang my bells. Like literally it was like 1 second I'm going towards him. Next thing I know, I'm just like fucking sprawled out on the ground like that. Like I got fucking rocked, but I shouldn't have been playing offensive line. I wasn't built for it. Like, you don't see guys who are 5'6". Like, I think I was, like, 180 pounds at the time. Going against guys who were, like, 6'5" and, like, 300 pounds.
You get
crushed.
There
was a mismatch from the start. Like, I got fucking just eaten.
So were you always funny? Did you always think you were funny then in high school? Like, you're just, like, cracking jokes and being the class clown and shit?
That's always who I've been, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, and then you figured,
as long as I can remember. I've always kind of been that guy. So finding comedy really made me, like, I almost felt like I was, like, remembered who I was when I was a kid when I started doing comedy.
Yeah. When I started cracking jokes, right, I used to be really crude and, like, I'd get pretty, like, vile. And then, like, you know, when I started on social media, right, like, I realized very quickly you're going to get banned if you keep telling those kind of jokes, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you learn how to be funny in other ways.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned you don't always have to be the funniest motherfucker in the room either, right? Like, hey, you know, like, just I work with a couple guys, man, you know, like, we're when we get together, it's a riot, right? right? Like we feed off each other's energy, and
that's like the crew I'm on right now.
We just open up doors for each other, right? Like he'll say something, and I'm like, "Oh shit, did he just say that?" And I'll open it right up, and I'll step in, and I say my thing, and we, it's we can be funny without being fucking, you know, like vile and crude, you know. It gets carried away sometimes, and then we just like, okay, that's too far. Let's fucking back it up a little bit.
Well, that's like the crew I'm on too. Yeah. Like all of us have a very similar sense of humor. Like laying out sideways is the most. It's the funnest day because it's just like 8 hours of all the boys like just shooting the shit on the rig floor. It's, and like the camaraderie you build is like there's like layers of like lore to some of the jokes we have too.
Yeah,
where like someone will say something and like one time my driller. We're like he asked me what time it was, and I looked down at my watch. I'm like, it's like 5:30. He's like, oh really? And then that became like a thing for like a year, where like someone would say something like we'd just look over and be like, oh really? And it's like shit like that where like bringing it out, like you when it gets brought out at like the most random times where it fits is always the best. And like some of the inside jokes that we have, it's like. Come from like working together, like the three of us for like 3 years now. Or no, my motorman we have right now, we just got him like last summer. But like perfect guy to add to the crew. Like he's like the having a crew of people that all like work well together and get along well.
Yeah,
it's worth more than anything else.
Well, I have a similar story that you know, or the oh really thing. A couple of years ago, we had a guy that worked here, and he brought like girls back all the time, right, to the hotel. And one day he's with the girl, the last girl he brought back, right? He's with her still, and it's a couple of years later, and he's not here anymore because you know, he can't be on the road no more. So, you know, we'd watch this guy give like handshakes and high fives to these girls in the morning, right? And then the one day, like he's sitting there at the truck, he walks her, he comes out of the hotel, we're all sitting there watching, right? And he walks over to the car with her and they're talking. And I'm like, remember, bud, hugs, not handshakes. That's for transactions. Right. And like, fucking, he just looks over and they're just both laughing and smiling and shit. And he reached in and gave her a hug and a kiss goodbye. And I'm like, oh shit, you know, this is different, bro, you know? Yeah. And then, like, you know, by the end of that summer, he's like, yeah, she comes and visits me a lot on days off. Like, you know, she lived in Saskatoon. He lives in Edmonton. She moved to Edmonton to be with him. Man. And that's great. They're still together like fucking 3 years later, 2 years later. Hugs, not handshakes, because handshakes are for transactions. Yeah. Fuck yeah. So how did you decide, like, you just saw a buddy and you're like, fuck, I gotta do this. And so decided one day.
Part of me was like, yo, I could be way better than all these guys going up here right now. Like, if this is what is people are watching, like, I could be way better than all these guys. And it's also something I've been into for a long time, just watching. Like, I'd always wanted to try it out. And I wasn't sure how you, like, get started as a comedian. But then having my buddy just kind of showed me how to get started. And he doesn't do it anymore. He tapped out. But I went, like, fully just all in on it. I was like, this is – I could do this for the rest of my life.
Like, didn't you open for Hack?
He wasn't there that day, actually.
Oh.
But Brett and Sam were there.
Are you related to Sam?
No, people ask me that all the time.
Yeah. Well, you have the same last name.
I'm not related to him. No? Walker's a pretty common last name.
Yeah. I like Sam. I like them all. I like all three of them. I chat with Uncle Hack the most. You know, I love that guy. You know, like they take it off the chin of a little bit every now and then. And none more so than the last, like, you know, couple months ago.
Well, they definitely take some risks with what they're doing. Like,
that's comedy though, right?
Yeah, you're like, you have to take risks. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
The shit I'm working on right now is I'm kind of trying to iron it out to make it a little bit less like insane what I'm saying, because I didn't realize how crazy it sounded. Like, I still think the point that I was making, like, I always try to go for the funniest take, but I still think the point I was making is like fully valid, and there's a reason why a lot of people were were laughing even the first time I said it, because like the whole premise was like the actress, like Emma Watson, when she was 17, there was a website like counting down the days until she turned 18, until she'd be legal. I was like, if you're on that website, you are a fucking pedophile. Like, you're fully having thoughts about a 17-year-old. And I was like, this is fucked up. It's wrong. You shouldn't do it. And I was like, but if I was 17 and a bunch of 35-year-old horny women were counting down the days till I turned 18, I would fuck all of them. And like that, like that's like the funniest angle to take, where it's like everyone knows it. Like, if you're like a 17-year-old kid, he's gonna do that. Like, that's, and it just it's different for men and women.
But absolutely.
I'm trying to make it sound a lot less like, because I'm not pro pedophile. I'm not pro anything like that. But it's like the joke is like, yeah, like if that had happened to like an 18-year-old guy, he would have been like, yo, this is sick.
Well, you know who
it's disgusting. It is disgusting that people would be doing that to like if you were just like a woman who's attractive, just that there's like men like counting down until you're legal. Like, that's creepy as fuck.
Like, you know who I just found?
Who?
You know the Oilers booby flasher girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, I found her on Instagram there, and we're talking right now. Yeah. And she said she'll come on the podcast, right?
That's so
sick. Yeah, dude, I can't wait to get it. She works in the oil patch, right? So, like, you know, it's very blue collar, but like, fuck, why not, dude? And she's like, well, yeah. And she just got a Playboy deal. She just got a fucking Playboy deal. Dude, if I flashed my private parts at an Oilers game,
exactly.
Can you come downtown with us, please? We need
exactly.
You know, but she flashes her, she gets a Playboy deal, gets on chicklets and everything, right? Like, that's insane, bro. Yeah, that's crazy. I like her. She's good shit. Good. I can't wait to have her on the podcast, man. If you're listening to this one, it'll be an upcoming podcast, and I might live stream.
Things are different for men and women. Like, things are different. Yeah. And they're like, it's just like, because the dynamics are different.
Absolutely. They shouldn't be, but they are.
Yeah, and like, I feel like part of it is just like the repercussions for what you're doing. Like, as a guy, there's no chance I can get pregnant, and like there's a lot more desperate dudes than there are desperate women, so that's one of the reasons. Like,
I don't know about that, man. You know as well as I do, you've spent some time on the road, and you've listened to women in the industry and women in general, man. I don't know, bro. They say men are pervs, and all they think about is sex and yada yada yada. I think women are just as bad, man.
Yeah, well, women, they're way more. Oh. I think women are way more selective for who they perv over, though.
Well, they can be, right? Yeah. They have that option, right? Like, I'm not saying I agree with the guy. The
best quote I heard about this was from one of my buddies. He's like, "Women are just as horny as men are, just not for you." And that's like the truest way to put it. Where it's like, it's not for you, though.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have way more options as a woman than you do as a man. I don't think that's a controversial thing to say, where like if I was a chick and I wanted to have sex tonight, it would be like phone calls
was,
at most.
It's a guarantee. You're getting
sex. Like, if you're a dude, fucking figure it out. Like, you'll
probably make like 30 phone calls or 100 messages sent before you finally get a I'm down.
Yeah.
Right. You got to be in it to win it. You got to risk it for the biscuit. Right. And, you know, it's funny that you say that. I'm not agreeing with the guy 100%, but Andrew Tate said it best, you know, like 2% of the dudes are fucking all the women.
Oh, yeah.
2% of the guys get all the women.
I've noticed for a long time, just like, I didn't have to hear fucking anyone tell that to me. I just noticed that when I was like, junior high, it was like,
women want two things or three things. It's
like
things, the same, right?
Like, handful of people who they all had a crush on.
Yeah.
And then, like, in my own personal life now, like, there's a circle of friends I have in Calgary where it's like, my one buddy who I work out with, he's in a relationship now, but when he was single, he was just like, the guy looks like Ryan Gosling and he's in really good shape. So he was doing very well. Like, and then half the guys had not been with a woman for like several months. And then Noah was going like, bleep out his name if you post this, but he was going through like one or two women every week. And it was like, the disparity of like that group of friends was like crazy, where it was like one guy is just tons of women and the rest of them are like going like long periods of time without being with a woman. And like it's just, that's the way that life is. Like you're not going to be able to change that. Like if you're a guy, just figure out what you got to do. Like it's more difficult, it's more competitive, but it's either figure that out or be an incel. And why the fuck would anyone want to be an incel?
Oh shit. Hey dude, do you know what viscosity is?
Yeah, like viscosity is like how the like mud weight would flow, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, so
because viscosity is like it's like honey would be something with a very either low viscosity or high viscosity. I'm not sure which one. Now my brain damage is showing, but like I know it. Like it's like how something flows. Like oil's like very high viscosity and honey's like very low viscosity.
Or vice versa. We don't know. But we're on that same track. Where I'm going with this is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman. And the Mudman deals in, you know, viscosity, you know. So he deals in the thickness of your load, right?
Oh, yeah.
How thick is your load, Girth?
It depends on how long I have. Like, it depends. If I go a couple days, it's going to be thick. If I go a couple days without cranking it, it's going to be thick. But like by the third load of the day, not very thick.
Yeah, by the third really load depends, of the day, like, you need to add some, you need to add some viscosity to it. You need to add some viscousness to the shit.
Yeah,
right?
you got to take some zinc to get your viscosity back up.
Dude, I'm on the zinc. I'm on the zinc like crazy, man. And as a man in my mid 30s, you're gonna find this out soon. As a man in your mid 30s, your loads are never thicker than they are when you're in your mid 30s. They're a little thinner now. They need more viscosity to them right now for you. Mine, perfect viscousness. But you know, I need no more. I don't need to make it thinner. I don't need to make it thicker. It's mint right now, right?
Yeah.
As you get older, you know, it turns a little bit to dust. But you know, you gotta take advantage of that shit when you're in your mid 30s, right? So shout out to the Mudman, you know, for everything. You know, if it wasn't for, you know, the mic and the headset wouldn't be here. And this is the very first episode that the podcast is being recorded on my brand new MacBook Pro that the Mudman has, donated.
I still
to the
can't
podcast.
Tell if the Mudman is a guy selling like gas station dick pills or just like the Mudman on a rig.
He's
like,
the
is
Mudman.
He supplying like drilling lime and shit, or is he supplying like gas station dick pills? Like the way you're talking about him, I can't tell.
He's supplying. Maybe both, shit, dude. But you know, he's, you know, for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, you know, www.mudmarket.com. Mm. You know, the Mudman, he's a fucking stellar individual. And as I was saying, man, this is the very first episode where we're not recording on the phone anymore. The phone is, we're not on the phone,
deadly,
right? And this is the first episode in the 81 episodes now, 80 something episodes where, you know, we're off the phone, we're on a laptop. This is coming to you from a laptop. Everything's hooked up to it now, and I can do all my editing right here. I can record on here. It's amazing, dude. A brand new MacBook Pro brought to you by the Mudman, and you know, I don't know where I'd be without this guy. This guy is incredible.
Deadly. I love to hear it.
Yeah, man. So he's kind of, you know, he's responsible for, you know, making, you know, the testing of the mud. You know, he's taken all the guessing work out of it, right? So he's got like electronic, you know, mud counters and shit, right? Like you know, the weight and stuff like that, you pour it in.
That's
man, and you know, the little coils. He was telling me about the coils, how, you know, on the back in the day they could burn, they could actually like catch fire. It's like now it's got an automatic off. It gets too hot, it automatically shuts off. And the Mudman's doing some really cool shit, man.
I'll have to tell our consultants about this if we're not already using this shit.
Yeah, the Mudman is the fucking man. I don't know. I wanted to sticker bomb, kind of. I wanted to put some stickers on the MacBook, but it's a fucking $2,000 piece of equipment. Do I put stickers on it to say fuck it? Do I put the Mudman sticker on there? Do I put
if he's the one that sponsored that laptop, definitely put his sticker on there for sure, hands down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's if he, what like saying. If he sponsored that laptop, like that's the least you can do. Fuck, I just got a new laptop for like editing videos and shit that I didn't really have the money in the budget for it because I bought it over breakup.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna use it strictly for content creation and nothing else. Definitely put the stick. Like if he's the one that got you that laptop, the least you can do is put the way I see it, the least you can do is put it at least his sticker on there. Maybe no other stickers.
Yeah, like I was gonna put his and then like a Dick Foss sticker on there, maybe an Foss sticker. But like I don't know how I feel about it, man. You know, like do I get a case for it, like a see-through case, and put the stickers on the case? Or do I put it right on the machine itself, you know? Because, like, this thing's beautiful. I've been playing around with it.
If you got a sweet machine, definitely get a case for it.
Yeah.
Stickers or no stickers, definitely get a case for it. I got to get a case for mine now, actually.
What'd you get?
I went to Memory Express, and I just asked them a bunch of questions about, like, video editing and shit. And they set me up with this fucking Gigabyte. I have it right here. It already has a couple stickers on it.
Oh yeah, that's one a Gigabyte. So is that a gaming laptop or what?
Yeah, I don't really game, but it's a gaming laptop. But they said that's what you'd want for video editing, because I guess like running a video game is the same. Like it's a computer doesn't know if you're playing a video game or running a video editing software. It's all just the same to the computer.
Yeah,
like there's no difference. You're just instead of fucking killing aliens or whatever the fuck, you're dragging and editing videos, but to the computer, it's all the same. It's just, you're running an application and you want something that's powerful enough to run that application.
Fuck yeah. So I've noticed after playing on this computer for a couple of days, everything to do with this podcast, I can run off the laptop now. I don't need to touch my phone for anything, man. I can edit the video in here. I can edit the audio. I can upload it everywhere I need to upload it. I can put it into an app and it chooses like clips for me that it thinks, oh, hey, this was a good part. Put this part up there.
That's crazy.
Oh, dude, this thing, this is, I have a lot of reading to do. I have a lot of getting to know my technology all over again to do. And I'm pumped. And the Mudman, man, I don't know. I don't know, man.
He sets you up good.
Do I love the guy? Is it too early for love, or are we at the love
stage? Like,
are we making love right now?
Like, if I was going to buy someone a $2,000 laptop, I'd want to tell them I love them before I bought the laptop personally.
Oh, shit. Like,
I think you're past that stage, if you ask me.
We're past the lovemaking stage.
Yeah.
Shit. All right. Well, hey, someone better tell his beautiful new bride, because he just was recently married. This is a thruple now.
Yeah.
This is a thruple.
About it?
What was that?
How's your old lady feel about it?
My wife loves it. You can see my dick in 3D on this thing. Well, not 3D, HD, 4D, 4K.
Well, she can see it in 3D whenever you're on days off. She can get it in 3D.
Oh, buddy, it's like a 3D printer printed this thing off, and it feels like the real deal. You know how people are like 3D printing guns and using guns?
Yeah.
Someone 3D printed this dick.
There you go.
Know? Yeah. Oh, dude. It's incredible.
That reminds me of a really funny story I heard about from a rig.
All right. Let's hear it.
Like, there was a guy who fucking, like, he used a Kelowna Willy for his girlfriend when he was away. And then he comes back. I wasn't there for this. I just heard this. Like, this was years ago. He comes back. He's like, fuck, like, my girlfriend really wants to put, like, the dildo I made for her, like, in my ass. And he wasn't sure whether or not to do it. And then after the next hitch on days off, it basically came back that, like, this guy basically got railed in the ass by his own dick. Like,
yes,
that came from what you were saying. Was like, I remember hearing about that story, and it was like crazy how, like, within like a 3 month period, it went from like, oh yeah, like I made this for my wife, to like I had sex with myself, basically.
Gross.
Yeah, that's insane. Shit. I don't know how vulgar you can be on this podcast. Like,
oh, dude, say whatever the fuck you want. This dude,
yeah,
is on
that
the throne.
Like, reminded me of that.
It's a blue collar podcast, man.
Yeah.
Do we watch what we say at work on site?
No.
Fuck it. Exactly. Let her loose, my dog. Let her loose. So I was sitting there. I'm working road construction right now. Every summer I go and I work road construction.
Yeah, that's
summer,
what you're doing, you know? In Drayton Valley, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was doing in Drayton when I saw you. Yeah. So I do that, you know. I don't put all my eggs in the oil field basket, right? So when the bottom falls out of her, I'm gonna be here, you know, and I keep going back and forth to that. It breaks the year up for me too. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't want to kill people if I, you know.
Yeah.
So I was in my equipment. I'm an equipment operator here, and I was in my equipment yesterday, and I'm sitting there thinking, and I just start laughing. I just start like belly laughing, right? Because I'm like, what the fuck? I had so much time. So I'm like, you know how women, they say, hey, you know, when the Red River flows, take the dirt road, right?
Yeah.
Like, what would you rather have on your dick, blood or shit?
Blood.
Yeah, right? So I'm sitting there just laughing. I'm like, oh, God, this is hilarious, right? And then I call my boss, and he's like, hey, man, what's up? And I'm like, bro, I'm just sitting here, like, thinking, right? I have all day to think, right? I'm like, you know, the Red River flows, take the dirt road. He's like, yeah. I'm like, what would you rather have on your dick, blood or shit? And he's like, well, that's a good question. Whose is it? Is it mine? Like, well, how would you get your own shit and blood on your dick? Right? And he's like, think about it. It's possible. Right? Like, it is possible.
I don't want to think about it.
I don't know, bro, but you just put a whole new fucking mind fuck to this thing, you know? Like, what the fuck?
I mean, like, I guess now I'm thinking of ways I could get my own shit on my dick.
Exactly. That's where my mind went afterwards. I spent the rest of the day thinking about, like, how do I get shit on my own daycare? Like, am I shitting? Yeah.
Like, all I can think of is if you took a shit and then dipped your dick in it, but why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
I'm sure somebody somewhere has done it. Don't get me
wrong. Oh, dude, there's signs for everything for a reason. Yeah.
Like, at least one guy's done it at least one time.
Oh, yeah. He definitely has. For sure. There's someone out there that has, like, you know what? Yeah, I would. Fuck it. There's a big crater in there. Fuck yeah. Let's go. Fuck yeah. No, that's disgusting, though, right?
Got to be where STIs come from. There's people doing shit like that.
That's how COVID was born. For sure.
You see the South Park on COVID where it's like the guy fucking, he went and where COVID came because Randy was partying in China with Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
And then they had sex with a fucking pangolin. And that was where COVID came from.
See, now, when have you seen the South Park COVID movie? South Park COVID, Return of COVID?
I don't know if I've seen that one. This was like the original COVID one.
They've made so many COVID episodes and a couple of COVID movies. Like,
well, it's like, what else do they talk about? Like, that's all they had to talk about when COVID was going on.
Yeah.
Because they're like they make everything like very current. Like when they're making their episodes, when they're working on a season, every episode is done like just in time to be released. So they're like they're staying up to date with everything. So the way they do things is like all they really had for material was COVID for like however long that went. But fuck that shit.
How did you come up with the name Girth Brooks? You know, that's just been fucking with me. I'm not even lying.
I just thought it was funny. Like,
yeah.
Because originally, like, when I first started doing comedy, I didn't want to use my real name. So I just went with, like, Chris Hemsworth. And then I think I was in the crew truck one day. We were listening to some Garth Brooks. And it just, like, oh, I should call myself Girth Brooks.
Girth Vader.
Well, that's another one.
Girth Mall.
Girth Brooks is here to stay. My push called me Girth Brooks when he saw me after he came back from his breakup. Like the first thing he says is like, fuck yeah, Girth Brooks, that's what you're going by now, all right? How the hell have you been?
So how did you get started in making content, dude? Because like, and how did they allow that to happen? Because like, you're right on the drill floor with a lot of that shit too.
That's not going to happen anymore now that we've been bought out. All those videos are old videos. none of those videos were filmed like recently. Like, yeah, like that's the short answer, is like anything on the rig floor, I'm not going to be posting that anymore.
All right.
Yeah, like it was beforehand, it was a small company, and it was like, I don't, now anything I had filmed would have been before we got bought out. And yeah, I don't think there's going to be anything on the rig floor anymore.
But really, you can still use the rig in the background and shit though.
Yeah. Like it was kind of just like, I see a lot of videos on TikTok, and like 90% of them was like, yo, we're way fucking faster than these guys. The first one we ever filmed, my driller just sent a guy up on the roof of the doghouse. He's like, fuck yeah, let's see how this does on TikTok. And like another guy on my rig also was going super viral on TikTok. Like, I still don't think I've had a video do as well as the Derek Hand who's on Knights right now.
What's his name on there?
I'll send it to you.
All right.
But it's fucking, he wears a red hard hat. Like, I remember one of the DDs was like, oh, I seen you on TikTok. You're that kid wearing the red hard hat. But I'm trying to think of what his username is. Fuck.
Whatever. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, like, I'll send you one of his videos.
But the good news is you work for PD, right? So Lane Borley works for PD, right? You've seen Lane shit. Right?
I have.
You can make videos with PD. They love that shit, right? They're all about that. You know, maybe tone it down just slightly, or don't tone it down. I wouldn't. Fuck, they're funny. They probably think that shit's funny too.
Yeah, right? As long as like all the PD office guys I've met seem to be like pretty laid back. Like, I don't think they'd have a problem with anything, as long as we're not doing anything that's like blatantly illegal or dangerous.
Yeah.
And that's like
riding a fucking pump jack.
Yeah. Luckily that was filmed on days off. So that's like, I was not even anywhere near the rig when I did that. That was like, I went on, I think Rigger Talk or some one of those apps to find like the closest pump jack to my house, and then we filmed that, like me and my buddy filmed that video over there, and like
that was
I wanted to start making videos for a while, and that was like when I was like, oh, this would be hilarious. And it all started with a conversation we were having in the doghouse like right after the election, and like I was about to go on days off, and then we had our relief push and driller, because our main push is he's a farmer, he was farming at the time, like the main push on our rig, and we're like, crew truck ended up being like half an hour late. So I was just sitting in the doghouse with the driller and the push, just basically having a very similar conversation to what that video ended up being, that like buying a truck video.
Yeah.
And then I added a lot of my own shit to it, but there's definitely some lines in there that did not come from me. And like the driller on that crew almost started doing comedy as well. And he used to be an actor before he went to the oil field, so he was all about that.
Good for him.
Like the relief push we have is just a fucking beauty, like really funny guy. And I had that idea. I'm like, I bet this video is gonna do well. And then it ended up being for a long time the video I had that had like by far the most views. So it was definitely the right move to make that video.
Fuck yeah.
And I kind of, I don't know, I was like, oh, I wanted to learn how to like make content and shit, and I figured a nice way to learn would be to like make videos about what I'm doing and put them on TikTok. And then there'd be the occasional day where it's like, fuck, we're going fast, boys. Someone bust out a camera.
Oh, dude, what's crazy, what you just said about like making videos and shit. I was playing around on this laptop the other day. I can make an intro video for just the video when it goes on YouTube. I can make an intro video specifically just for that, and have like, you know, me do like different interviews that I've done, right?
Yeah.
People like, you know, with the music playing in the background, right? And you know, just, oh dude, the things I want to do now. It's crazy.
Oh yeah. I know. I feel you on that one, because I got the new machine myself, and like I spent like 2 days learning how to make those news videos. I'm trying to find a new topic to make my next news video on, but nothing interesting seems to have happened. It's like,
what do you use?
What's that?
What do you use for the news video?
I've been using Adobe for those news videos.
Okay. How much does Adobe run in? Is that free on your computer?
Oh, I wish it was free on the computer. Like I think it's like $80 a month or some shit, but
holy
I
shit.
Found it very worth it, like for all that I got out of it. And like I spent like I basically like locked myself in my condo for like 2 days just learning how to do all that video editing.
Yeah.
The first video took me like 2 or 3 days to make. The second one took me like 3 hours. Well, like filming and editing all said and done, the second one took me like 3 hours. But I took it down from my Instagram because I forgot, like, when I posted it, half of the video didn't post. And I was like, fuck, like, this is kind of embarrassing. So I just, like, archived it without telling anybody because it was, like, half the video was missing. I don't think the – I think it on TikTok it posted properly, but on Instagram only half the video posted. So I took it off my Instagram. But I think it's still up on TikTok.
Isn't it fucking wild where the conversations are going right now between, like, you know, fucking 50 years ago, you know, like riggers were talking about like their fucking new microwave they were getting and like,
yeah.
Oh, did you see that pizza button? And you press the pizza button and it defrosts your pizza. And these days we're fucking talking about the cool shit we can do on a laptop with a video we're making on site.
I've definitely had a conversation about electric toothbrushes with my driller.
Electric toothbrushes are so sick, bro. I got like, one. What's your fucking deal with them?
I got the Sonic Air from my dentist.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, this thing works way better.
Dude.
Like, I've definitely still had conversations about, like, appliances and shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, when it comes to, like, the shit that people are buying now, like, the technology we have blows me away. Like, cause when I was a kid, none of this shit was possible.
No.
Like when I was a kid, it was like, holy fuck, I can catch Pokemon in 3D now. Like that was like where technology was at when I was like fucking like 10 years old. It was like I was blown away by like stuff looking 3D on a fucking like Game Boy.
You played Pokemon Go?
That was the last one I played. That shit fucking took off. Like, I was, like, I think in grade 11 or 12 that summer when it took off.
Do you play Pokemon Go, though?
Not anymore.
Oh, I do. Bro, you need to get on that shit.
Oh, that would take away too much time from my writing, though.
I hatch eggs on the daily, bro. When I can't.
Is there a lot of,
like,
stops and shit, like, when you're out in the field?
When I'm running my, there's a lot. When I'm running my equipment, right? I'm in my equipment. As long as you go under 10K an hour, man, it doesn't count as driving. So I'll put on an egg and I'll put my phone down and I'll just like fucking run my equipment up there and down the road. I'll hatch like 5 eggs a day, man.
There you go. Like I remember when it first came out, like I'd go downtown in Calgary and like I'd run into fucking everybody I knew there at that park.
Oh, yeah.
Like I think it was Prince's Island Park was like, the entire city was just like gathered there catching Pokemon, and you'd know that something like sweet was in the area because like a mob of people would just like flood one direction and be like, "Oh, there's a Charizard or some shit over
Thursday
there."
Thursday raids or whatever they were.
Yeah,
you have your Thursday raids and you'd go there. And I went to West Ed Mall, dude. West Ed Mall on a Thursday raid was fucking insane,
yeah.
Bro. You'd have hundreds of people, if not more. You're 1,000 people just like chasing at man. I caught like 5 Mewtwo's. I went like 5 Thursdays
That's
in a
crazy.
Row, man. I'm just like Mewtwo, right? And you know, like, you know, if I don't have time, right? I used to spoof a lot. I paid $6 a month to spoof, and I could go from fucking wherever I was to like the Maldives or Paris, and I'd get regional Pokemon from them places and bring them back and trade them with people.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. I got caught spoofing, so it's like,
well, you're not allowed to do that.
You're not allowed to do that at all. Huh. Yeah, you're not allowed to do that. They don't like that shit. They'll ban your account if they want to. Yeah, I'd do it anyways. Fuck them. $6 a month.
Yeah,
have at her, bud.
Like, why would they care so much? Like, it's getting people to play their app. Like, you'd think they'd, if I was them, I'd turn a blind eye to that because it's like you're taking someone who enjoys your game so much, he's going the extra mile to do stuff he'd otherwise be unable to do. Like, why would you want to punish someone for enjoying your game that much?
You're not trying if you ain't cheating.
Yeah, like, that doesn't make sense to me, why they would not want people to do that.
Yeah.
Because, like, all they're doing is like making their experience of the app better. Like that, at least to me, that makes no sense why they would do that. But
I don't get it either.
The one who runs their shit, so
fuck, I don't get it either, man.
Yeah,
I honestly don't. Where do you see your content and like, you know, going over the next, like, you bought a laptop, you're all in on the editing and shit like that, right? Like, where do you see this going over the next, like, fuck, I don't know, let's give it a 3-year plan.
Within 3 years, I'd like to at least have like somewhat of a following, be doing more paid shows and basically what I'm doing now, but on a higher level and
better at it.
Like, I would like to be doing this, what I'm doing now, but better with more, like, better editing because I'll have learned a lot more. Better writing because I've been writing for another 3 years. Like,
yeah,
just where it's at right now, but better.
Like, hack. You want to be on hack. You want to kind of be, like, the next hack. Well, you want to be the only Girth Brooks, right?
Yeah, like, I want to be the first, like,
yeah,
the first Neil Walker. Like, one thing I know I'm going to struggle, like, once I try to go full-time with this, I love working in the oil field, but I don't want to brand myself as just like the oil field guy because I was doing comedy before I started working on their oil rigs, and I will be doing comedy till the day I die.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to at some point slowly transition out of making stuff full, like, related to the oil field. Not out of any dislike for the oil field, but more so I would like to have a more general audience. Like, I already started doing that kind of in my shows. Like, I was never conscious of how I dressed when I was performing for a long time. And I was like, people, I snapped one time in Calgary. I had a show where I said absolutely nothing like remotely political. Like, it was like dick jokes and shit. Like, it was nothing political at all. Like, I was literally talking about dick size for the joke. It's a really good joke. I'll send you a private video of it because I don't want to burn my material on this podcast.
Oh, no, that's
like,
fair.
The industry
that's
term
fair.
Is like burning material, but I'll send you a video of that bit.
That's fair. And but I saw your video. Sorry, go ahead.
The fucking like host comes up and like, yeah, leave it to the oil rig guy going on a right wing rant. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I didn't fucking say anything remotely political. Fuck you, you piece of shit. You weren't even watching what I said. You just looked at how I looked, and you're like, oh, this guy is going to be doing this kind of shit, which I mean, to be fair, I also look like a guy that would talk about the size of a penis for 5 minutes, but that's unrelated. Like, like, I was so pissed when someone said something about me going on a political rant where I was like, I didn't say anything remotely political at all. And I was like, okay, fuck this. Like, something like flipped in my brain. I'm like, I Googled like how a lot of like professional comedians dress when I was on stage. And like, Kate, I'm buying outfits specifically to work on stage, to wear when I'm on stage. And that's all I'm going to wear these for is on stage. I bought like 2 pairs of shoes, a hoodie, just jeans is fine. I already had a lot of pairs of jeans. Like, I fully was like, I don't want people to be looking and just expect a certain type of stuff. Because if you're an audience member, you see someone, you're like, oh, like, roll your eyes at them because they don't look the part of a comic. It's like, fuck that. Like, I got sick of, like, kind of having people respond to me without, like, give me reactions like that before I'd even open my mouth. I was like, if I'm serious about this, I need to make myself look like everybody else does.
Absolutely.
If you were to put me in a line, like, if you were to put me in a lineup of, like, a bunch of, like, professional comics – and then me, and you were someone who didn't watch comedy at all, then I'm like, I would not stand out in that line. I would just like blend right in that line.
Yeah.
And that was like, I think I did that maybe a couple days ago where I went out and bought all the shit. Cause it was like right before the rig fired up that this happened. So I was like, Kate, my first paycheck when I get back, I'm spending like $500 of it or whatever I need to just fully blend in with all the other comics. Cause people, before they look at you when you get on stage, like before you say anything or not before they look at you, before you say anything, they're going to look at you and kind of form judgments of like what you're going to say. And if you look a certain type of way and the people in the audience are the types of people who don't like people who look that way, then they'll be like, not like they're less open to what you're saying. where like a lot of comics, like I noticed, like they're all wearing like pretty basic looking Nikes or Jordans, like nothing crazy that stands out. Yeah. And then jeans and a hoodie. And that's seemed to be like the uniform is either that or like jeans and a flannel or like jeans and a hoodie, jeans and whatever. Like it, you got to look like a very, like someone who like does not stand out in a crowd.
Yeah.
Like well-dressed, but not in a way where you'd stand out. Like you got to just kind of look like every man almost.
Yep. Yep. I what you were saying there about, you know, how like you're trying to not just be an oil field guy, right?
Yeah, like I love the oil field, but
yeah. That's kind of how my content's gone too, right? Like my content's gone like blue collar as a whole, right?
Yeah.
Like, as I don't just work oil field. I do, you know, I do road construction and, you know, the podcast very centered around the oil field, mm-hmm. but I have, you know, welders, electricians,
yeah.
tilers, you know, crane operators, you know, riggers, back truck operators, fucking, you name it, man. You know,
yeah, I remember I seen the one with, fuck's sakes. I remember watching that one.
That was a good one, man. That was a lot of that one was a lot of fun to do, man. I was pumped when I got him on. Yeah, man, like it's a blue collar podcast, right? And in some cases, they don't even need to be blue collar. I just like their content, right?
Yeah, well, it's exactly. If you fuck with someone, bring them on the podcast. If you're like, yeah, this guy's sick.
Fuck yeah, man. It's my podcast, you know, and
yeah, you can do it.
I think they're interesting and fucking love their content or, you know, who they are as a person. I want to have a conversation with them.
Exactly.
You know, let's go. I like to talk. Let's go. I want you on, right? And so, you know, at its core, it's oil field. And then, you know, blue collar, and then just fucking I like you, right? So, yeah. You know, it's how it stays diverse. It's mm-hmm. how it stays alive, right?
Oh, yeah. If you always have the same kinds of people on, yeah. like that's one of the reasons why Joe Rogan was doing numbers. Is like he'd have the guest after guest would be like completely different. Like, there's one would be like fucking like some like dietitian health expert. Then it'd be like a border security worker.
Yep. Same with Theo Vaughn.
Yeah. And they'll just have like any type of person on there. And it's like the guests you bring on, like they keep it alive and keep it. Oh shit. I dropped my phone for a second there.
Okay, man.
They like keep it alive and like keep it interesting. Seeing all the different types of people and viewpoints you can bring on.
Yep.
And if you only like have like one type of person on there, like there's only so many things you can say about an oil rig
yep.
until it gets stale. Like if you were to do like one episode versus like 100 episodes of a guy telling stories about a rig, like at some point, all the stories have been told, all the stories have been said. And like, you have to keep it interesting that way to keep to keep people listening.
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. And that's exactly why, you know, it was like, okay, I am oil field and I want it to be oil field, but like you just said, right? Like, I will quickly run out of ways to go. I will back myself into a corner and, you know, this is a hobby that I want to go on for a while. Like fucking the, mm-hmm. Look at the mud man. He obviously thinks, you know, this can go on for a while. He's dumped.
Oh yeah.
Fucking almost $3,000 into this podcast now.
Oh yeah. Like I have a lot of friends sending me your shit and I'm like, oh, I know that guy, he's cool.
Fuck yeah man, people have sent me your videos and I'm like, I know Girth, I know right. Neil very well, right?
Hell
and
yeah.
I had a drink with Neil in the West Winds.
Yeah, that was so fucking crazy, like how the timing of that lined up where it was like,
yeah,
I just made like my first ever like kind of video of that style. I plan on making more. Like, I guess what I was saying about, like, there's only so much you can say about a rig. Like, I'm already running out of ideas for people you meet on a rig. And now, like, for when it comes to nicknames, I guess I've been slacking on that because I've been so busy with, like, other projects I'm working on. Or I'm like, fuck, yeah. Like, I have to make some more oil field content soon. But then, like, TikTok, like, shadow banned me or some shit.
Oh, dude. Like, go back and look at the sounds of your videos. If any of them have been muted,
cause yeah, I had a video that got muted, and then like,
yeah.
ever since then, like,
make them private.
Like I used to be like, I'd post a video and it would just like within like an hour, it'd be like going crazy.
Yeah.
And then
same, but yeah, at the same time, man, don't pay attention to the views anymore, dude. It's just have fun. right? Oh, exactly. If you have fun, that'll reflect in your video and the views will come, dude.
You can't force it. Like, for stuff like this, like, you cannot force it.
Yeah.
You kind of just have to, like, the way I see it when it comes to, especially, like, with TikTok and stuff, it's, like, as soon as it stops being fun, I want to stop doing it. Like, for those fucking stickers, once it stops being fun, I'm done with those fucking stickers. Because, like, it was a funny idea. I'm, like, I bet, people would love it.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, I'm not trying to build, like, a huge empire off some funny stickers.
Well, let's talk about the stickers, man. Because you ran that idea by me, like, a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm down, man. Like,
oh, yeah. Like, so... I got them. I'm gonna get a bunch of them ordered to my motorman's house.
Yeah.
In case they arrive, and then like, I could get them I could order some to your place too. Like they're super cheap. Like I'm probably just gonna start by giving them away for a while.
That's what I did. That's what I did. You know, when my whole merch line started, man, I gave away like $1,000 worth of stickers at first, right? Like just. Have these stickers, you know, like they're $1 a piece on my website, but fucking you get a sticker, you get a sticker, you get a sticker, we all get a sticker, right?
Exactly.
And like fucking dude, it and once in a while I still give stickers away, bro, but like I sell a lot more now.
Oh yeah. It's just a funny little sticker. The one thing that I need to make very clear with that is like we are not trying to undermine the brand of any drilling companies. Like this is just guys on a rig, we're having fun. And we thought the idea was funny. We're not trying to like, this is not like a fuck you PD. Like I actually quite enjoy working for PD. They've been a great company to work for.
Well, explain the sticker.
The sticker, basically I did not do the work for, like I had the idea, but I'm not like sweet on Photoshop. Like my buddy, he's designed a lot of logos for different clothing companies. Like he's like a professional clothing designer now. I used to work out with him back in high school. I met him at the gym. Just a wicked dude. And like his dad worked in the oil field for a long time. So he's all about that kind of shit. And like I just asked him a question of like how hard would it be to like get these stickers made? Like I just asked him a question and like ran my idea by him. He's like, I will do that for you for free because that is fucking hilarious. So the sticker is just the Precision Drilling logo, but it's swapped. So it's like instead of PD, it says BP. And then there's a font underneath that just says Double Penetration. And then like for an idea for like clothing, it would just be like a hoodie that just has like two Derricks on the back, like right beside each other.
Yeah, I like that.
And then there's might be another one that's like the Target Zero, but then it just says like Backdoor Hero in the back, like the bottom says like one hole, two rigs, and the Z looks like a little butthole.
Yeah, I like that.
And it's just like we're having that was literally just us having fun on the floor one day. Like how that started was like I think we're laying out, we were either doing a wiper trip or laying out sideways, and we were just like joking around about it, and I was like, boys, I can fucking make this happen. Like we are gonna get these stickers made.
Fuck yeah.
The Coverall place in Edmonton that makes coveralls, they were not about it though. When I tried to get some custom BP coveralls made, they said it was bad for their brand or whatever.
Yeah, let's not do that.
I honestly want them to regret doing that. In a perfect world, I want them to be like, fuck, I could have made coveralls for that guy. Cause like, I think selling those DP coveralls would be funny too.
Fuck yeah.
But it's like, as long as like, I don't want to like anger people who are like higher up at PD. Like my goal is not to like fucking piss off a bunch of like executives. Like this is just like, we're on a rig floor having fun, joking around.
Yeah.
And I was like, I bet this would sell as a sticker. And like every single service hand, everyone who like came out to the rig, I was asking them, they're like, oh, I would put that on my hard hat or, oh, I'd put that on my truck.
Fuck yeah.
Like everyone I talked to is either they'd put it on their hard hat, their truck, or both. And like everyone on both crews wants the stickers. So it's like, I know it's a good idea and it's just like a fun thing to do. Like those DP stickers, like it's just like guys in the oil field having fun.
Fuck yeah. Like that's what the whole thing is.
You're miserable,
right?
When you're at your job, it's a lot more, it's a lot harder than when you're just like laughing and having a good time.
Yeah. And that's why we make content, right? Because, you know, it's a very dark industry. Nobody knows what happens on the inside of this industry. The marketing has been shit, right? We talk about it all the time. Blue collar marketing, oil field marketing, it's been shit. No one really knows what it's like. So, you know, we're making these videos and people are seeing, hey, this is what's going on in here. I want to do this job. So they type in oil field and they see what you're doing in your videos. They see what we're all doing in our videos. And like, I want to do that.
You know? It's like, oh, those guys look like they're cool. Like they look like they're having a good time out there and they're making good money.
We're creating a culture of hard work, but also fun.
Right? Yeah. That's one of the things I love, that like, that's exactly what the culture on the rig I'm at is like, which is why the retention rate is so high. Like, it took me 6 months to move up from lease hand to roughneck, and then like no one's gotten any promotion since I moved up because no one leaves my rig. So it's like everyone's like, oh yeah, like within like a year or two you'll be working motors. The guy who was my first motor man, he was a roughneck for 6 years because no one leaves the rig I'm on because the culture is so good, where it's like the camaraderie that we all have together.
Yeah.
And I've been on other rigs and like everyone's been on other rigs, and like the having a crew where like everyone gets along, like just on a different level, almost like camaraderie wise. And like my push is really good at filtering out like guys when they first get there. It's like, is this person good? Like it, I almost think like pushing a rig when it comes to making crews, it's like coaching a hockey team, where it's like, you got to have guys who fit in together and kind of have the same personality.
Absolutely.
And the same way they do things. And like building the crews is like, you got to make sure you line everyone up on the crew where they're going to be the most successful. And he did such a good job at that, that everyone's kind of happy just being stuck in the current position they're at for like 5 or 6 years because
they don't look at it as stuck, right? They
Exactly. It's like, I don't see myself as like, I'm stuck working roughneck. It's like, I'm having the best time of my life on the best crew I've ever worked on. Like, so, like my favorite work crew I've ever been on. And like, part of me almost dreads the day when I get moved up to motors, because it means like I will no longer have Dom, Joe, and Ryan on my crew, because one of those three is going to have to be gone, or I'll be on a completely different crew.
Yeah.
And I'm going to like, I'm almost dreading because that day is obviously going to come. Like I'm not going to be roughneck forever. Like maybe I will be, but the day will come eventually where things get moved around.
Yeah.
But like it's like the friendship that we've built out there is like, it's, I've never experienced anything like that.
And
I remember,
and it sucks when it ends. It sucks when that party ends, man. When you've seen The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, you know, and shit like that.
And like, I feel
I've been a part of that.
I feel like it's on the road that ride now, because we drilled our last well with the old sub, like, this hitch. Like we did the last rig skid we did, they swapped out the entire subsection and like HBU, and we got an entire new sub like a week ago maybe, and it already feels like it was like The Last Dance, where like someone wrote on the wellhead cap like, here lies the final well, Iron Hand One, rest in peace. Because now we got a big, slightly bigger green subsection. Like it's way more modern, don't get me wrong, I don't hate it. Like there's a lot of stuff that, a lot of innovation in the industry since the fucking like 25 years or whatever it's been since our old sub was built. So I'm not complaining, but I feel like I'm already kind of in that, where it's like, we got an entire new subsection, and like, yeah, it definitely made me feel like very nostalgic to how it was when I started. Like when I started, we didn't even have a top drive. And now it's like we're getting like a lot more like modern, newer shit.
Fuck, and
it's crazy seeing how.
Hey, where can people find you on social media?
Instagram is Neil Walker Comedy, and TikTok it's Girth Brooks. It might be Girth Floorhand because Girth Brooks was taken. Fuck all the other Girth Brooks. I'm the real Girth Brooks.
All the other.
It's Girth either Brooks. Girth Floorhand or Girth Brooks on TikTok. And then Instagram is Neil Walker Comedy.
Fuck yeah.
And I should get a YouTube channel going. I don't know why I haven't yet.
You should. You should, man. I got one. Fuck, YouTube's awesome. YouTube's great. Hey, yeah, man, I don't want to keep you too much longer here, brother. You know, I like to wrap the pot up by asking one last question here. You know, Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people up on the rock, right? If you could have your own Mount Rushmore with four people that you look up to, inspire to be, or that inspired you, it could be fiction, nonfiction, dead, alive, doesn't matter, man. Who would they be and why?
That's a tough question.
Yeah, I we go from like fucking four... shit on your dick to fucking who do you look up to, bro?
I'd probably go four comics for this one.
Okay.
Just to, so I'm not overstressing myself thinking about everyone I've ever met in my entire life. I'm just going to go with four comedians. Let's say probably George Carlin, Bill Burr. These days, Shane Gillis, he's up there.
Have you seen F is for Family? Bill Burr's the fucking man.
Oh, he's so funny.
Have you seen F is for Family?
Yeah, I haven't seen the new. Is there new seasons out? Like
I haven't looked.
I haven't watched it in a while, but I binge watched it like a few years ago. I watched all of them. Yeah, Bill Burr, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, and Shane Gillis.
Fucking solid lineup, brother. Fucking solid. Yeah,
a little bit of new, a little bit of old.
Hell yeah. I appreciate you coming on the podcast, man. Like, you know, especially this new iteration of the podcast. You know, where this podcast goes from here now, right? It's like, you know, I'm off the phone, I'm on the laptop, you know, it only gets better from here, you know. Things we can do and places we can take it are just incredible. Yeah. And you know, thank you for coming on episode one On the Throne Rebirth.
If you ever want to have me on again, let me know.
Oh, definitely. Bro. Yeah, like, dude, we've only had one reoccurring guest in 80 episodes, 81
really?
Episodes.
Really? Who's that?
Grayson Magaha. He's also a stand-up comedian.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, man.
Oh, you know Georgie, too. You know Georgie, right?
Georgie.
Like, what's his Instagram? Like, Old Trusty Rusty.
Oh, I know Trusty Rusty. Yeah, he performs at West Ed Mall all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's invited me out to a couple shows, yeah. I got to get him on the podcast, too. We've talked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah, man. Yeah, from what I've talked to him a bunch, man, he seems like a solid individual.
Yeah, I like him. He's a good guy.
Fuck yeah, man. Well, I'll have to get him on. Maybe I'll get both of you guys on at the same time.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I bet you that would be an insane podcast, man. I bet you guys would just feed off each other. Two comedians and then, like, just three funny dudes, you know? I'm not on your level, but, like, you know, like, it'd be, you know, we'd just feed off each other.
Yeah, like, if you really wanted to make, like, a really entertaining one, I'd put him and Hack on.
Like they know each other.
Really good one. Oh yeah, because I know they definitely know. Like I think he's open for Hack before. There's definitely shows I've done with the three of them. Like there's a room in Edmonton called The Moon, and they're both always at The Moon. So they definitely know each other. Like they're both always at The Moon whenever at least. Georgie's there almost every time I go, and Hack is probably there like half the times I go because he's on the road a lot. But whenever he's around, like I bet if The Moon is having their show on, they may not be doing their Friday show this Friday. They normally do one every Friday. And if they are, I could probably count on seeing both of them there if they're in town. But I think I saw a post saying they're not doing one this Friday.
George works in the oil patch too, doesn't he?
Yeah. I'm not sure if he does anymore, but he was when I first met him, he was also working for PD.
Yeah. Yeah, man. No, that I fucking dude, this is why the podcast has been so amazing, dude. You just learn so much about other people, like random people that you work with. You know, they're funny guys. You know that they've got something going on, right? But you don't know what. Hey, man, what'd you do on your days off? Oh, I just went and hung out at the mall. Now I'd be like, hey man, what'd you do on your days off? Oh, there was an open mic that I attended. I opened up at a comedy show, you know, or hey, I recorded a podcast, man. And I went and I hung out with a bunch of blue collar oil field content creators. So it's fucking, what is this, man? This is awesome.
Yeah. Social media has changed the game where like anyone can have access to this kind of stuff. Like 10 years ago, if you wanted to do this and you wanted to make this kind of content, you had to be with like TV or somewhere.
Yep.
And like I remember seeing Ryan Long talking about where it's like when he first started, he was like, should I go the internet route or the TV route? And for a while he was going the TV route. And he was saying, like, yeah, as soon as like he was saying that on his podcast. I wish I knew the guy, I don't, but he was saying it was like, yeah, as soon as I switched over to the internet, my shit took off because
You get way more creative liberty to be yourself because you're just doing it yourself and posting it yourself. So you can say whatever you want within reason. Like you, there's some stuff like if someone was to go on just dropping a bunch of hard R's, then yeah, you're going to end your career real quick. So don't do that. But you can say like you still have a lot more creative liberty than you would if you were to just be going through like network. And it shows like stuff online's consistently outperforming stuff that you see in like on mainstream TV now, because it feels a lot more real, where it's like there wasn't a bunch of guys in suits deciding like, oh, this is what we need to do. It's like, no, this is just like some guy who's like, this will be funny if I do this.
All it takes is for you to just randomly, you're just posting it out there for possibly nobody to see. You don't care, right? You're just like, all right, you know, upload. A couple people see it, they share it. A couple more people see it, they share it. A couple more people see it. The audience, regular people like you and me, we determine how much push it gets.
Exactly. Right?
Whereas, like you said, on TV, it's the networks and the suits.
Yeah,
right?
It goes through like 10 different people.
Yeah, this goes through like, this can go through a few million people, right? But it's ultimately the people rising up and deciding, this is what I want to see.
The only thing I'm disappointed about is my most successful video was just me working the rig floor.
Yeah, I like that video.
Me where it was like, fuck, like I put all this energy into making like funny content and this is the one that fucking blows up.
Yeah, and well, I made a video of me cleaning out a rig tank.
Telling us like, these idiots aren't running the dog collars, you fucking idiots. Yeah. And that became like a reoccurring joke where it was like the last thing I want to say before I get off this podcast to everyone telling us that we're not running the fucking dog collars, our drill collars have a zip on them, and you don't have to run fucking dog collars on drill collars when they're built the way that ours are built. So everyone who was arguing about like us not running the dog collars, it's because we don't have to, because ours, they have a zip on them, so they fit perfectly in the slips. I actually really wanted to say that on at least somewhere on a podcast, because if you go through the comments on that video, it's like so many people who are like, I can't believe they're not running dog collars. But no, that's the last thing I want to say on this podcast is we don't have to because we have a zip on our collars.
Brother, let's leave it there then.
Yeah.
Let's leave it there then.
I am disappointed that was my most successful video. Like my goal right now is to surpass that video in views and shit with comedy. That's my current goal.
Well, fucking let's get one bigger than that for you. Everyone go follow Girth Brooks here. Hey, buddy.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, brother.
Oh, anytime. Like, we should definitely do this again.
Oh, we will. Hey, Girth, stay frosty.
Fuck yeah. I don't know how to end this. I have no idea how to get out of here. I'm going to close my browser. Later, brother.
Later, brother.